Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the latest and greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show.
What's good, world? I hope y'all are staying blessed out there, man. We're coming to a conclusion of 2020, so I'm back with the final episode. Had to come and see y'all one more time and really recap this whole year, get into what's been happening in the latest news, sports, and entertainment, of course. Man, I'm really happy, obviously, to be bringing this year to a close, but to really be dropping a little something extra for y'all after this. So we'll get into this episode, all my hottest takes on sports news. Are we getting them little stimulus checks or nah? We getting $2,000 or nah? All this and much, much more. This episode's spoken word selection is entitled Forgiveness. You can find it and other works on the official Dom J page. The Invisible Eye. That's officialdomj.wordpress.com. Next up, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive. Easier said than done, of course. Absolutely and honestly. If I ask myself to be honest, you see, I am reminiscent of instances in which I did the contrary. So forgive me. Forgive again, because regardless of whether you believe it or not, clasping on to a grudge is a sin. But behold, I perceive that this leniency is harder for me to give than receive. Conscious of double standards, I erase the standards with which I no longer stand on or stand for. I do not clasp vengeance. That feeling does not entice me anymore. So I forgive them. Forgive even more for the transgressions of all proportions and assortments. Free your spiritual mind and stop the mental contortions from twisting and distorting. Exercise control. Relinquish what conquers you, my friend. The process of forgiving must start from within. So forgive again. Forgiveness. My thought of the day on this episode is that tough times don't last, but tougher people do. I know it's a trite saying, cliche if you will, but indulge me for a second. If you've made it through this year, you have made it through a lot of things, man. Just think about it. We've had civil unrest. We've had a plague over the course of 9 months, a general election in which it was said that there was a lot of scamming and cheating going on, and mail-in ballots, in-person voting, the weather, the hurricanes. It's been more hurricanes than they could have gone through normally in an alphabet. So they started getting the Greek alphabet involved. It has been a hellaciously challenging year. So if you're listening to this under the sound of my voice right now, give yourself a pat on the back, give yourself a little praise, man, and reflection, and thinking that, hey, I made it through 2020, so whatever 2021 decides to come with, I am equipped to handle it. Big ups. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Now let's talk money, man. We're talking money in America. For those that are listening internationally, again, want to show y'all some love. Say hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you in your respective languages accordingly. But if we're talking money, like I was saying, man, at the top of the show, we're talking potential stimulus checks for all Americans once again. Currently at $600, but after 45, kept on doing 45 things. This man put out a propaganda-filled video saying the check should be $2,000 to each American. And Pelosi and House Dems offered unanimous support. But of course, Mitch McConnell, a.k.a. Money Mitch McConnell, blocked it because of a social media liability issue that 45 wants resolved. He wants to be able to go after social media. If you've ever been following anything he does, he has problems with, you know, his tweets as they were over the course of this past year, being flagged and tagged for false information. He's got issues with the autonomy with which people use social media to express their opinions. But there are certain opinions you can only express within a certain context if you hold public office. Something, again, a concept that's eluded his understanding this entire presidency, but I digress. So it's looking like we may be at a point of impasse to a 2K check right now, but it seems like we may be at a mediating point, if you will. Okay, so it's a situation where, you know, what do you give, what do you take? Unfortunately, this is, again, one of those situations. But you have support on both sides for increasing the payments from $600 to $2,000. But again, Mr. Bitch McConnell decided, nah, I'm gonna just go ahead and block that, which is unfortunate. Because again, the president's going out and attacking people. Of course, if it ain't the play that he set up, man, he's not happy about it. Calling these folks pathetic, that the party had a death wish if it didn't back the bigger payments. And he also called again for scrapping social media company legal protections. This man really, really wants to be able to get at the social media tech giants, which is very funny. I mean, you spend enough time on the internet, I suppose anybody could want to do that. But I would suggest maybe you just spend a little less time on social media, do a nice cleanse, set yourself free of all the public opinions and criticisms that are just, some may be unjust, but you know, just maybe a little less time on the internet, bucko. But okay, so that was, you know, the initial push for 2K checks blocked by Bishop McConnell, but he introduced a bill that combined the 2K checks with a provision scrapping the social media company protections and another to study election security, which were issues Trump claimed, again without evidence, that fraud had robbed him of victory in the November election. So again, this whole omnibus bill situation, man, they're trying to input so much around getting people stimulus checks that these other issues outside of just the money difference between $600 and $2,000. But again, it's just the insistence on Congress of doing these double-sided deals, man. Trying to wrap up everything, put as much filler. Just imagine you're making a sandwich, right? You just want a BLT, a basic sandwich by most measures. But again, a sandwich, a little bacon, a little lettuce, a little tomato. Okay, that's what we're asking for. $2,000 checks or whatever. You know, it was $1,200 last time. But instead, they're trying to add pepperoni. They're adding mayonnaise. They're adding another slice of bread. They're adding possibly another type of bread in between your white or wheat bread sandwich. They done put in some sourdough. Then they done added some gorgonzola, some apples, some, you know, a whole bunch of randomness in between there that doesn't directly benefit Americans. And so it's like, okay, so you're going to tie up the relief for Americans in all of this international, you know, the social media protection issues. Like, yeah, y'all should be able to resolve these things in due time, but make the most pressing matters, obviously avoiding government shutdowns, pretty key, and paying Americans more money for a pandemic relief that has extended over basically the entire course of 2020, at least last 9 months, essentially. I mean, the whole problem of $600, random number, okay, if it's $2,000 for everybody, that adds another $400 billion, okay, to what you're paying out. But again, who cares? Like I said on the last episode, man, we're talking fake money, in my estimation. Okay, yeah, it's not $900 billion, now it's over $1 trillion. Okay, so, so. I mean, if you're looking at it, you're talking about deficits, it's not going to change any. It's going up regardless as far as money owed. Okay, so cut the checks, man. Cut the checks. But again, so there's support. Hopefully, it's resolved sooner rather than later. But again, this comes back to the importance of having a united Congress for the incoming Biden-Harris administration. So if you're listening to this podcast and you live in Georgia, Make sure you have your plan to vote in the runoff election January 5th. If you haven't already done so, please be sure to make sure you have your plan. I know it may not be as fun. It's not as enticing. There's not as much hype behind going out and voting again in a runoff scenario, but you have to understand the importance of it is just as paramount as the first time around. So if you're, again, in Georgia, hearing this podcast, hello, good morning, good afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Make sure you have your plan to vote in the runoff election for Warnoff and Ossoff. Because again, this is what will continue to happen, man. We'll continue to be at these points of proverbial impasse without a unified Congress for the upcoming administration. So, you know, I really would like to see some unification. Makes it the easiest way to get things done. So even if you continue to have somebody like Mitch McConnell, he can be outvoted. As currently constructed, he's got that veto power, man. Can't be outdone, unfortunately. But hopefully they can get this ratified. Now, there is another alternative, okay? It can be 600s now. You get the Congress united, and in the future, it's another round of payments. Joe's been on record saying these small sorts of payments are just down payments to the American people. So hopefully, again, keeping these people feet to the fire, they'd understand that unless this virus just eradicates itself, or we just somehow conclusively, quote-unquote, wrap it up, in the near future, more payments will be made because plenty of people still don't have jobs. Plenty of people still forced to be having, reduced incomes, making adjustments as best as you can. And I think it's important to have that sort of foresight. Because again, man, it comes out like this $600, bro, you know, if that's all that happens in the new year, that's like $1.30-something. So I guess that's what it's worth. That's what each American is essentially worth to these people at this point. It's really disheartening when you think of it like that. But again, you got $1,200 last time around, which is nice. You know, it was feasible, I think, for a short duration. But again, the pandemic and its effects have literally lasted from March or late February, if you will, to now where we're just in December, about to be in January. And yes, we're getting started with vaccines. But again, people are still impacted beyond that. And so I think it's, like I said, that much more important to continue if you're going to be representing the people, doing things that are in the people's best interest. Now, I will say people did make this sort of difficult, potentially, by what you might have done with your $1,200. You're going to be taxed for that on the back end anyway, come tax season. But again, man, just making smart decisions. To me, that seems, you know, like I said, bipartisan support on this increase to $2,000. It just seems like the smarter thing to do. Like I said, that $1,200 divided by, you know, 365 days a year basically comes out to $3 and some change. Kind of lets you know what they think about you. Now they want to reduce it to $600. And if that was to be the only payment received next year, Americans, they say you're worth $1.64 a day. I don't know what to even fathom that being capable of purchasing. It's like a cheeseburger, I guess, McDonald's cheeseburger, 99 cent. You hit that dollar item. But you literally only get one item on the dollar menu, bruh? One time? Yikes. Congress, do better. Fucking do better. Now, it's early, so I think in that last segment, I may have called that man Warnoff, but that brother's name is Warnock. My bad, Raphael Warnock and Ossoff. Two people that, if you're in Georgia, vote blue, baby. Help us get this Congress unified so that it makes it easier for the administration to do things in the best interest of helping all people recover from this terrible, terrible pandemic. Now, like I said in the last segment, we have some, you know, look, proverbial hope, if you will, around the corner. The vaccines have started going out. You've got two of them on deck. Depending on your specific area, you find out which one, but you got the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, both currently out, both still having that sort of a two-dose or two rounds, if you will, before it's, I guess, you're done taking the vaccine, which is still an interesting thing to me. But either way, Big Pharma's getting paid, baby. Pfizer and Moderna, they're very, very lucrative pharmaceutical companies. And even now, sitting here as I'm reading some of the top news stories, you've got the UK cooking up another vaccine. So again, you've got a couple already out. Hey, if you've already taken the vaccine and you're listening to the pod, let me know what your thoughts are, what motivated you to take it. Again, I'm not, telling people what to do with your own personal health. Hey, you got to make the best choice for you, your respective family, and your situation. So by all means, I am in no sort of sense of the word a doctor or somebody to be taking medical advice. I'm just providing general information. So like I said, two vaccines already out with another possibly on the way. If you've already taken that first one, how you feeling? What are your thoughts? 21 days later, taking that second dose. Would love to have somebody come back, tell me how they feel about that there. But if you thought, just because we were turning the page on 2020 and what has been one of the most interesting years, if you thought COVID was done just because 2020 was coming to an end, you got COVID fucked all the way up. Because as I sit here looking again at what's happening, what's 2021 looking like it's going to start with, COVID said, I got something for y'all, man. I got some of that exotic on the way. There's a virus variant of COVID now in Europe. Okay, and so it's like, well, damn. Now they're saying that the vaccines that are out and available now should still be used and still be useful as far as fighting coronavirus, which is great. They can't guarantee that, obviously, because again, we're talking about a whole lot of novelty in both the virus and the cures for it. But now we have a variant strain that's arrived in Europe, and here in America, it's also present, as we just, in the last 24 hours of recording this podcast, have had our first variant strand found in a person in Colorado. Now, that person is in self-isolation, so hopefully that highly contagious variant just stays with him specifically. But alas, if it's like the rest of the coronavirus, I'm sure in the next coming weeks and months that variant strain will be more places than expected. Now, this is a very interesting case because, again, apparently the man who caught it in Colorado has not done any international traveling, and has just been here in the country, somehow has contracted the variant strain. So, again, it's mutating. We're still dealing with a whole lot of novelty in all of this, man. It's quite the situation. You definitely, again, want to stay safe out there. Keep washing your hands, not touching your face, wearing your mask. The simple things to just protect you and yours as best as possible. But make sure y'all stay safe out there, man, because again, 2020 may be coming to an end, but coronavirus says I am not done with y'all just yet.
Litter boxes, toilet exteriors, tubs and shower walls, finished hardwood, sealed granite, stainless steels, got a mess? New 40% thicker cleaning, 2 times better Clorox disinfecting wipes can get the job done. They kill 99.9% of virus and bacteria, Staph, E. coli, MRSA, Salmonella, Strep, Kleb, kill cold and flu viruses, all of that with Clorox disinfecting wipes.
Because cash rules everything around me. We got more money news, man. We're talking virtual money, VC, as some of the 2K heads and gamers will call it, that virtual currency. We're talking Bitcoin now, as we're, again, some black history being made. Russell Okung becomes the first NFL player to get paid in Bitcoin. Now, that's a big deal because half of his $13 million salary will be paid out in Bitcoin following a partnership with Jack Mahler's Strike product, which converts traditional paycheck currencies into Bitcoin. This intention was something Okung expressed back in 2019 to get his cryptocurrency payment, and now it's actually happening, which I think is pretty cool, man. I remember when I first was really hearing about Bitcoins years ago, Again, man, when you're starting to really grow into your own money and take control of your finances, working with, you know, within certain constructs, it seems really foreign. And this was one of those that, you know, had I been able to get in on that earlier, definitely would have done that. But again, you know, hey, you live and you learn. Hindsight's always 20/20. But I thought that was really dope because this man's a Pro Bowler and obviously a millionaire, and it's involving the NFL making that sort of transition, I guess, which was pretty seamless for people to be paid outside of how they would normally be paid via regular direct deposit and paychecks. So I think that's pretty dope that that's something that they're working on. And I hope we start to see more and more of that as far as the mainstream headlines of people making these sort of money moves becomes more prominent, because it's not going away. As these tech companies continue to advance, as a volatile market like that dealing with virtual currency solidifies itself and develops consistency over time, I think we'll just see more and more people making those leaps and requesting those sorts of changes. Now, in some sadder news, if you will, Department of Justice announced it will not charge the police officers involved in the 2014 killing of Tamir Rice. Two Cleveland police officers won't face any federal charges for shooting and killing the 12-year-old back in 2014. Department of Justice announced that it's ending its investigation into Rice's death, saying that the video of the shooting is of too poor quality to establish what exactly happened. Now, I don't often read headlines and have my first immediate thought be like, what sort of bullshit is this? But that was what I thought when I read that. And I say that because, again, for the determining factor to be because the video quality is too poor to establish what exactly happened, I think along a certain premise of it, we have at least at the core of it, we have multiple officers, we have a 12-year-old with not an actual weapon, and the 12-year-old ends up dead. So I think starting from there, we would probably have some justification as far as, you know, I mean, the case itself, obviously, that happened in 2014. Here we are. They finally concluded it in 2020. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing that we're sitting here 6 years later and this is the outcoming determination, because it could have been conceived. And if you're a black person in this country, you probably did already presume that this was going to be the final outcome. But it's just such a bullshit reason to say that the video quality just too poor to establish what exactly happened. I guess the audio recording must also have been too poor. Couldn't be easily translated or transcribed by a stenographer to get a better idea of what happened. Because I think in those sorts of situations, that might be the better thing to do, to hear what transcribed and, you know, time stamped, if you will, and then make a determination. Something I'd be open to, something that I think should be done in these sort of criminal investigations, especially because you can't have that, to me, be the determining factor that you can't prosecute because of video quality. Come on, man. That seems really a low bar for denying that. And now in studios, I have a very special guest with me. Go ahead and introduce yourself. I don't need to introduce you, but I will. It's my wife.
Oh, your wife. It sounds so nice.
Yeah, I know. It's new, something novel. We've been working on our young, budding black marriage and whatnot. How are you feeling now?
Two and a half months removed, and I'm still going to keep you for life.
That's cool. That's good to know. Good to know. I wasn't planning on going anywhere either, so that's good.
Right now.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair point. So, you know, just want to get your thoughts, you know, as we sit here close to the new year, wrapping up 2020, what has this year really taught you as far as the unexpected and expecting? And if you're hearing that squeak, that's the dog in the background chewing toys.
Oh man, what has this year taught me? I think it's taught me a lot of the same things everybody else has learned. Mm-hmm. Fiscal responsibility. As we've moved into year 30, I think it's become more of something I've like begin to research, looking at investments, savings accounts, 401ks.
Right, right.
Just being a little more prudent with the way I handle my money and being more conscious of you don't have to spend every dime you get.
Conservative spending habits, if you will.
Right. So I learned that. Two, I learned to appreciate the small moments. I don't think any of us ever saw ourselves quarantining, social distancing, and wearing masks is something none of us really ever fathom.
Right.
So it really makes you appreciate the moments you had and are having, especially having right now. With us just having a wedding, it was super memorable and super nice to see my family and friends during the pandemic. I've been so worried about everybody. So even though I was a little worried about them getting COVID at the wedding, it was nice that one, nobody got COVID, but right. Two, that I could share those small moments. Because COVID is reminding us that life is so short, you know?
That's actually a huge moment to be celebrating.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a huge moment. So, I think it's taught me to really appreciate the small moments. And then, lastly, I think I learned to, like, really just kind of live my life for me. This year has been a, like, lot of transitions. You've been front row with me moving to Florida so I can get married, new jobs.
Right.
I think those are the things I've learned.
That's cool. I think I felt the same way on a lot of fronts in the sense of, you know, principles that you came into the year with, you may have had to double down and dig deeper on to get through 2020, like being responsible, like you say, and making good choices, being, conscious of things, and then just relishing that. You know, it sounds minimalistic, but those few opportunities that felt like we really got to see people and still be responsible about it. Having our wedding be one of those was obviously, you know, one of the big ones throughout the year, and just a big deal indeed of being able to get together and see everybody. So I think that was one of the best things, obviously, that happened in 2020, and just that change of perspective, I feel like, of going through that pandemic, you know, and getting you to this point, getting moved here, going through it. I think that takes a lot of responsibility. So pats on our back for being responsible and, of course, being favored as far as nobody contracting COVID at the wedding or post-wedding. So that was a real blessing indeed. What are you expecting, pandemic or no pandemic? Something you're expecting or looking forward to in 2021?
Okay, pandemic. Weird. I'm gonna start. I kind of took that as like a two-part question, so I'm gonna start with pandemic or no pandemic. Mm-hmm. Pandemic. America has such lax health restrictions right now. It's kind of scary. This new strand of COVID. Today, I just saw it hit Colorado, and then I just saw it hit California too. Yeah, you see me with the breaking news for you.
Breaking news.
It's in California now. So this variant strand of COVID, I've seen some reports of people getting the vaccine and still contracting COVID because it's like a period in between where it's not as effective or something like that. I'm not a healthcare professional, so do not quote me on that. My specialty is the law.
I've said the same thing earlier, but I reported on that story saying, hey, like they're saying, if you've taken it, you're only about 50% there the first time around. So, you know, you got to come back in 3 weeks, go ahead and get you up to 90, 95%. That's according to the contagious disease experts and whatnot. Because I ain't no doctor either. Another disclaimer.
Right. So I think people think because the new year is vastly approaching that the pandemic is just going to go away, but it's not.
Right.
I think if we had been a little more socially responsible as a country, it could have been, but it won't be. And I just think that's the science of it all. I mean, I don't think 2 days is going to change what we're living.
Obviously, yeah.
So, I will say I am hopeful that it'll be more under control in the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm looking forward to in 2021 is going on a vacation.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait to travel as a married couple. It's been nice dating, but I'm ready to go somewhere with my husband, y'all.
I think that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. In my, 24-month planning, that was one of the big things I'm looking forward to.
You should put that
year,
in about pandemic. 6 months, 8 months, 24, y'all.
I'm just saying that's my planning period, 2 years at a time. You know, you're shortening your longer term. But in the next year, though, obviously, in one of the quarters, that's a big thing. So hopefully internationally, people will accept Americans again because we kind of suck ass and they don't want to do that right now. And so I think, you know, regardless, we're going to be doing some traveling because it's driving me crazy. Traveling for work and then you just all of a sudden aren't doing that anymore, stuck in the house. Yeah, I'm hoping that definitely changes in 2021.
And the travel was a big part of our relationship. When you're long distance, you have to find creative ways to see each other. And
true.
So we used to do a lot of vacationing too. Whether it was coming to see the other one, it was a vacation for whoever got to do the traveling. And
right.
Just doing little, you know, we went some places. We were in a few places together. And yeah. So... I miss it, so I'm looking forward to going somewhere with my honey bun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting away. Getting away. In 2021. In other public servant related news, we have the two Louisville police officers. Well, two of them, because obviously there was more than two. Two Louisville police officers that were involved in the shooting of Breonna Taylor have reportedly received their termination letter. You have a Detective Joshua James, who was the one who prepared that bogus-ass search warrant for the raid on Breonna Taylor's home, and Miles Cosgrove, who the FBI concluded fired the shot that ultimately killed Breonna. They both received their letters of termination on Tuesday, according to news outlets. Now, that can be looked at as progress. Again, with that happening earlier this year, okay, before the year's over, they are being terminated, which is progress. Now, the next step post-termination is prosecution. And so I think this is a positive step, unlike the other step with Tamir's situation that I just spoke about. This is at least some sort of progress because they should not still be employed after you've clearly unjustly murdered a woman in her home. We preach about self-defense within one's own home. The United States of America is huge on that, huge on self-defense of person and property. Her boyfriend was doing what he was supposed to do and thinking somebody is coming to invade your house and you bust back, protecting you and your old lady. And then they essentially proceed to light that apartment the fuck up, man. And it's, this seems to be, again, the least that could be done as far as making progress and getting justice for Breonna. I think, yes, termination is obviously a step up from still being sent home with pay or some other BS of that nature. But until these people are prosecuted, you know, for these crimes, man, it's just not enough. It's not enough. Nothing, obviously, will ever bring Breonna back to us. But we'll take our justice, even if it takes forever from now. Again, man, just keeping our feet on these people's necks. Things will change. In other news, I think everyone should be aware of, the U.S. will now allow for small drones to fly over people and fly over people at night. The FAA, or the Federal Aviation Administration, called this a significant step towards their use for widespread commercial deliveries. Now, if you've ever been, you know, I remember like when this whole drone thing was first popping off, it was pretty novel, pretty cool, especially if you're into the science or robotics aspect of it. You know, that's a pretty cool thing to do. We all know the government and the military specifically has been big on drone usage as far as, you know, their portion of contributing to this sort of technology goes. They've been on it for quite some time. But of course, when it comes to surveillance, of the aerial space, if you will, of people here in the country, I am like, eh? This is something I will definitely be looking over my head at, as far as I'm not big on that sort of surveillance, man. That seems like a bit much. I know it's obviously a sort of paranoid feel, if you will. Obviously, if you are, you know, just a random everyday person. But again, everything that always sounds good, everything that glitters ain't always gold. This sounds like just a really cool story. But I liked how it was, you know, in the past as far as drone regulation goes. I guess I may have been more, you know, conservative in that sense. Because previously, small drone operations over people were limited to operations over people who were directly participating in the operation within a covered structure, space, or stationary vehicle. So again, it's not somebody in, you know, 5 miles down the road being able to fly their drone way over your head and survey you. It had to be, again, within that same vicinity of the person using the drone. These new rules will take effect 60 days after publication in the Federal Register in January. Drone manufacturers will have around 18 months to begin producing drones with remote ID, and operators will have an additional year to provide remote ID. Obviously, there are going to be more complicated rules that follow for operations at night and over people for larger drones in some cases. Now, again, you know, so that'll be, like I said, a story that I'll be revisiting and something to watch as far as this whole drones flying over people thing. I think it's cool for the delivery aspect. You know, you can check random videos on the internet, whether they be here or abroad, of people, you know, getting a pizza or something delivered. I know people were, you know, more drone centric this past year because of the pandemic, trying to keep distance between. So you saw, you know, little small bakeries or people, you know, utilizing drones to get stuff from their house that they could pick up. I saw one really cool video. This guy ordered Starbucks and had his drone pick up the Starbucks, and the whole, you know, those Starbucks employees were outside waiting on the drone, watching it come down. Nice little use of technology on a personal scale. But again, this is the sort of things that puts it on a more of a mass scale, which concerns me to a degree. You've had there are over a million, almost 2 million drone registrations, over 200K FAA certified remote pilots. And so, again, we're talking, yes, obviously, you know, consumer drones, not going to be the same as commercial drones. And so, you know, from the consumer aspect of it, not a whole lot to be concerned with. But from the other side of that, I definitely will be keeping my eyes out in these sort of situations. Obviously, you have people like UPS and Amazon that are obviously are ecstatic about being able to incorporate this on a larger scale. And I'm sure it'll pay dividends there. Hell, I love having packages show up. I don't know if I can presume that in the near future, my packages will be delivered to my door via drone instead of via person. Because routinely, basically in my community, you see the Amazon and FedEx trucks every day, same drivers basically every day. So it builds that sort of rapport. If it becomes drones instead, that'd be weird, man. Because sometimes during the holiday season, you get bigger packages, right? So I guess those will still be done by hand by actual people, or will there start to be these big ass drones delivering packages? Just something to be, you know, be cautious of. And I'm sure everybody is going to feel some sort of way when you have your first close encounter, if you will, with one of these little drones, man. So keep your head up. So I know we were discussing the vaccine earlier, and I was just wondering if I could refine. I saw a story I thought was interesting earlier, because we had a nurse in California test positive for COVID-19 more than a week after receiving the Pfizer vaccine just this past Tuesday. But a medical expert said the body needs more time to build up protection. So a nurse who was working at two different hospitals got the vaccine on the 18th, said his arm was, you know, sore for a day or whatever, typically like it is once you get shot in the arm with some stuff. But 6 days later on Christmas Eve, he became sick after working a shift in the COVID-19 unit, got the chills, got the muscle aches, fatigue, went to a drive-up hospital testing site and tested positive for COVID-19 the day after Christmas. Now you have the infectious disease specialist reported as saying they know from the vaccine clinical trials that it's going to take about 10 to 14 days for you to start developing protection from the vaccine. That first dose they think gives you somewhere around 50%. And you need that second dose, again, that sort of 3 weeks later, to get up to 90%. 5%. So again, it's interesting to see that's how they're breaking it and divvying it up. So again, you know, just continue to be as cautious as you would be if you didn't get the shot, if you've gotten the first rounds of it. As you'll see, you have your infectious disease specialist saying you're only at about 50% right now, Playboy. So don't be out there taking unrisky chances, if you will. Make sure you get that second dose, get yourself up to 95% some odd 3 weeks later. But I just thought that would be interesting because, again, I know people get the vaccine and you have people all over the internet saying, once they get it, I'm mask free, man. It's a mask off lifestyle. And if y'all hear that right now, my dog is sneezing in the background something ferociously. Bless you. But anyway, so again, just continue to play it safe, y'all. These vaccines, they're going to take some time to really do what they're supposed to do. So protect yourself. And another guest on the show today, we got my brother from another mother, Agent Double J, on the podcast today. Welcome back. Obviously, if you've listened to the show, you've heard my man stop through. He's always doing the solid. We was just shooting the shit about the PS5, bro. How you like it?
I actually like it. I like it. It's different than the PS4. You know, it's different than the 4, even though there are some similarities, but I like it. I like it a lot, bro.
Yeah.
Different pace.
Hey, I've seen.
I definitely do like the idea of the reverse compatibility. I can play my old games on it, so I'm not losing the 4, just gaining the 5. It's like I gained the 4 plus some, you know.
Right. Did you go with the they got two different versions of it, right? The digital only and the whatever, I guess the standard or whatever, the physical one's called.
Yeah, so I went with the physical, but that's just because if I can catch a deal, I did that because like I didn't want to buy all my games. Because if I can catch a deal at GameStop, buy, you know, a game for
$12.99,
I'd rather do that than have to download it for
$50, you know? Right. That's kind of how I'm leaning, my damn self. I like physical copies of it. Like, you get a Hall of Fame edition or something, like I had when 2K17 dropped. It was the Kobe version, so I wanted everything in hand. It came with, like, a mouse pad, the poster, all that high jazz.
But the real star,
okay, okay. What's up with that?
It's the hectic feedback on the triggers. Like, for instance, if I'm running on 2K and my player doesn't have a lot of energy. In the beginning, when I run, the trigger is easy to pull. But when I start to get tired, the trigger gets harder to pull because I'm tired. And I just it's a fine feature to me. It's just fine.
Alright, okay. Nah, that's some new shit right there. That's new. See, how is 2K though? Every year, I know it's always a debate. People always got their jokes off, but you got a new system, new game. You're saying the haptic feedback is off the chain. What about the game itself though?
The game is, I give this game, it's one of their better ones. It's better than last year. It's not their best because, you know, like, there's a lot of, you know, gifts and gadgets in it and stuff, but I'll give it a passing grade.
Okay. A passing grade, if you will. Congratulations, 2K21, because I know it don't always get that.
Exactly.
That's real, man. That's real. Well, how you feel about the NBA basketball season, man? I know we're only a week into it. There's an undefeated team, if you will, the Orlando Magic. I don't know if you're an Orlando Magic fan, but if you are, congratulations. Y'all have won the first week of the NBA season, the only remaining undefeated team, if you will. But shit, what are your way too early predictions, man? Who you think are going back to the finals?
I'm only saying this because of paper, not saying because of stats right now or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the Lakers, on paper, they look unstoppable. Marcus Gasol, boom, check, defensive player of the year before.
True.
Anthony Davis, check, defensive player of the year before.
Could do it again.
Multi-time MVP himself, LeBron James. And then they kept a lot of the other players. You know, they got the Caldwell Pope deal.
Yep.
So they still got the depth and 3-point. Then they got
was crushing it.
They're looking pretty good in the West on paper. Coming out of the East, we all know when these two got together that it was going to be a problem. And they're looking like a problem early. My boy, the Nets, with KD, the Slim Reaper, as you might say, and Kyrie, the Urchin Flat Irving.
Hey, no BS, bro. That's my exact same finals pick, bro. I got in the finals, I got, of course, being a Lakers fan, I got the Lakers in six. That's what my heart says. My head says you pick them in seven because KD and Kyrie could easily hit a couple game winners that force it to seven games. I think that would be some must-see basketball in the finals.
And the bench for the Nets is looking pretty good. Their bench is potentially a starter for other teams.
Yeah, Dinwiddie getting hurt and messing up his ACL is a big, big blow for them. But hopefully because it's early in the year, he can, you know what I'm saying, take the majority of it off and recover however long that process is going to be and be ready for the postseason. But I think regardless, even if they do lose him, like you said, they have some depth there. Steve Nash is a first-year head coach. I'm curious to see when the issues arise between him and Mr. The Earth is Flat.
That's true. He has had problems with all of his coaches in the past. We shall see.
So I think that'll be interesting. I hope they all stay healthy, though. That's the main thing I really want. If all the stars stay healthy, I think this could be one of the best NBA seasons we've had in quite some time, whether we have another playoff bubble or not. I still would pick those two teams, whether we was in regular season bubbles or no bubbles. I think those will be the two teams battling it out. Unfortunately, I like Giannis. How you feel about Giannis? I think he's a top 10 player in the league. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that, yeah.
A top 10 player, but I just don't know if that team can do it. I don't want to say it either, but I feel the same way. If I'm just being honest, I just don't see it, man. If we've seen the best of this, man, he's won back-to-back MVPs, right, and still can't get past the second round. Definitely a little questionable there, man. But I'm like, they made some moves this offseason. I think they'll obviously be a great regular season team. They just set the NBA record with like 29 threes in a game, so that's cool, but come to playoffs, man. People just seem to build that wall, and he can't get past it.
Exactly. But hey, he paid, though. I'll tell you that.
True. That man is big paid. Black man, get your money. Greek man, Greek freak, get your money. Get your money. Yes, sir. But, bro, you have any last words or thoughts you want to share with the listeners, man, as we wrap up this 2020 year and head into the future? Go ahead and give it to him.
Rolling on, I definitely want to say new year, new you. And as much people put down plans, it's definitely a real thing. Also, wear your mask and stay safe, social distance.
Well, there you have it, official Dom to listeners. You know, so you have it live in effect. Special Agent JJ in the building, stopping by to close it. Appreciate it, bro. In entertainment news, I think the holidays have low-key been okay with the content. Obviously, it hasn't been a blockbuster year because movie theaters have been closed, so there hasn't been as much cinematic releases in that sense. You've had to, if you're a streaming service, obviously you've had to try and either accelerate the content which you had, or you already had your slate. You may just had to push out the dates. Or push up, rather, the dates in which you're getting it out to try and keep it all relevant. Because even, you know, it used to be like a no-brainer, Netflix. As soon as, you know, you're in a lockdown or you're in a kick-it-at-the-house sort of situation, no problem there. But now it's like, maybe I should end up watching some Netflix. If this was like the start of the year, for example, and I was ranking streaming services, start of 2020, I'd have probably had Netflix at the top. Followed by Amazon Prime, Hulu, was definitely watching a lot of Hulu, and then Crunchyroll for anime. And then YouTube right after that, to be honest. Watch a lot of YouTube. But if I was ending the year, I got HBO Max, definitely been watching that the most. YouTube second, Twitch third, then Prime, Netflix, Crunchyroll, Hulu. So it's definitely been a shift if I had to rank what I was watching from the beginning to now. But I will say the best thing I've seen maybe in the last 24 hours was probably Disney Plus. Because that's been nice too. I've liked a little bit of Disney Plus. I'm not the biggest fan of The Mandalorian. I like it, but don't love it per se. I'm excited for the next season, don't get me wrong. But I was never a big, like, huge Star Wars sort of guy. So I like it, but it's not something I just fawn over. Saw, Soul on Disney Plus. And I liked it. I liked the jazz music throughout because I'm a big jazz fan in general, so that was cool to me. I liked the obvious minority lead. We had a black man going through his lifestyle, trying to elevate his own status and whatnot. And then the deepening aspect of the movie and talking about one soul, the formation, essentially, if you will, of the virtues that make up each individual person, the philosophical beliefs, how you may get to be who you are. We get all the behind the scenes aspects and that. So I liked the movie. I know there are always some questions about the animation style and, of course, the association of black people with various animals in these animations as well, because we got a, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it already. In this movie, the black man is playing a cat. And so, there's that slight or aversion of interest in that sense. But other than that, I like the movie. Definitely recommend watching. A nice little family movie. Will the kids all understand it? If you're thinking of it in that aspect, maybe. Could be a good conversation point, man. I feel like this is a year where you could have a lot more, intrinsic and internal conversations with children than you might normally have. Wouldn't know for fact, though, because I ain't got no kids. The other movie that also came recently that I thought was intriguing for two reasons was Wonder Woman 1984. Now, big fan of Gal Gadot, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing the name wrong. And it's a movie where I like the first one. It was cool, you get the introduction, you get the background, you get the character buildup, you get how she came to be who she is, her daily life outside of being Wonder Woman. You get the historical implications. It was nice, a nice little movie, the love interest, all of that. But 1984, man, this one seems to be getting slaughtered by all accounts, except if you're just a general fan in the sense of having something to see. Now, that's a double-edged sword, I think, because obviously you want people talking about it one way or the other. There's a lot that goes into making these movies, obviously. And speaking of the fanboy specifically, if you're a DC fanboy, this may not have been one of the best products if you're leaning on Wonder Woman and Aquaman being staples as far as trying to keep you in that sphere, at least a tier below Marvel, because they're not neck and neck, y'all. Let's just be real. But DC would be the tier right under that. And if this is the follow-up, oh Lord. Because Marvel sequels, if we're being honest, they tend to get better. If you think about it, the Avengers series, they tend to get better. I don't know if Black Panther 2 will be better than the first. Have high hopes for it. The Thor movies, they got better. So I think in some aspects, DC, for this to be a follow-up, but a prequel in the same sense, is like, eh. I don't know, man. I just don't know if this was their best shot. A lot of people feel like it was a clumsy movie, kind of rushed, random as far as the villain, the intro of her turmoil, her love interest. The entire movie is sort of just an incomplete question mark lever, head scratcher, if you will. And that's not usually what I'm expecting, especially out of Wonder Woman. Now, in other entertainment news, I am looking forward to a couple of things in 2021. These two just happen to be on the same streaming service, so no, this is not an ad for said streaming service, but on Amazon Prime, January 15th, there's a movie called One Night in Miami that involves Ali, Malcolm X, Jim Brown, and Sam Cooke all being portrayed, four legends in one legendary night. This is something I'm looking forward to. It's based on a stage play. I like musicals, if I had to be honest with myself. I never thought I'd be the person that grew into liking them. I don't like them when they're cheesy per se, but I enjoy a nice little Disney movie with the musical. I enjoy play adaptations, live theater, that sort of thing. So this is something I'm looking forward to, starring Leslie Odom and a host of other good gentlemen in this movie. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And then there's also on Amazon Prime, a month and a half later, March 5th, Coming to America, the sequel, is dropping on Amazon Prime. So this is, again, another movie that could be, I don't know if it's going to be simultaneously in theaters, but it'll be dropping on Amazon Prime for sure. This is a long-awaited sequel. Obviously, Arsenio Hall, Eddie Murphy, and a slew of other people. They wasted no budget on this one, just like they didn't on the first one. So I'm interested to see how it is this essential second time around. Long-awaited and overdue sequel. What y'all think? Y'all looking forward to this, man? Let me know. In sports, the NCAA football season has been a cluster of a situation, if we're being honest. But it's sort of culminating with the playoff bowl games, your semifinal games, essentially. You got Notre Dame taking on Alabama this weekend. Presumably, it's not going to go well for Notre Dame. Even the head coach, Brian Kelly, has been saying this weird thing about they have nothing to prove, but they have won no national championships, and every time they end up on the big stage, it's usually preceding a beatdown. So I don't know what he means by that, except he must already know his team's going to get beat down, and that's why he's saying there's nothing to prove. So in the more competitive game this Friday, kicking off the new year, we got Clemson and Ohio State, Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence. Now, I think this should be a really good game, going back and forth, a high-scoring affair, possibly. The defenses for both teams have been, you know, they've been good in spots, and then they've given up quite a number of touchdowns in others. The Clemson-Notre Dame game comes to mind the first time around, where it was a back-and-forth contest, 40-plus point score by both teams. Ohio State's only played like six games up to this point, but, you know, that conference was bending over backwards trying to get them in to the playoffs, and they succeeded. So kudos to them, man. They got them in. I think if I had to give the edge, I think I'm going to give it to Dabo and Trevor Lawrence, man, to really get that done and be facing Alabama for the title, man. I think that'll be a really good game, another rematch, if you will, between Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney. Alabama Clemson is my college football prediction with – I hate saying it. I think Alabama end up taking it all, man. I really do. But I would love to be wrong, Clemson. So by all means, please take it upon yourself. Trevor Lawrence, do what you do, man. That sunshine magic, and get that game done. In the NFL, excuse me, man, we have some interesting games to conclude the season. A lot of play-in situations, and a lot of teams also kind of really playing for nothing besides pride and paychecks. So, hey, get your money, man. All the respect to you. We got Miami at Buffalo. Buffalo's already into the playoffs. Miami, on the other hand, still trying to fight and get in. Baltimore, they're in a win-and-you're-in situation against Cincinnati, against the Bengals, so you can kind of take from that what you will, expecting them to get in. Pittsburgh versus Cleveland, Mike Tomlin's already on record saying Big Ben won't play in the game. He's sitting, so they're starting a backup quarterback. Presumably, they've already wrapped up the division, so they really have nothing else to play for. So it'll be interesting to see if he pulls more starters. Minnesota and Detroit, no playoffs there. New York, England, no playoffs there. Dallas and New York kicking off. They both want to be fighting for a chance to win that trash division, the NFC East, but they won't know whether they're in or not because that game kicks off at 1 o'clock, and the game before that with the Eagles and the Washington football team also kicks off at 1 o'clock. Or no, that's the night game, actually. Oh, I see how the NFL did that. My bad. I got the times wrong. They updated and changed the schedule. So Dallas and New York, hey, that's just got to be competitive. That's your 1 o'clock game. They win. if the Washington football team loses later that evening, then they're in. But either way, they both got to be putting their best guns on the line, at least by giving themselves a chance to win. Atlanta at Tampa. Tampa's in the playoffs. Who knows how much they'll play their starters. Green Bay at Chicago. Green Bay can wrap up the number one seed if they win. Chicago can wrap up a playoff appearance if they win. The Raiders and Denver, no playoff implications there. Jacksonville and Indy. Indy wins. They help their case for getting in, but they also need more assistance. Chargers versus Kansas City. Andy Reid has nothing to play for and is pulling starters accordingly. Arizona and Los Angeles for the Cardinals to even have a chance. They've got to win and get a bit of help, a number of things to pull right for them. Same case for the Rams, but they're not going to have Jared Goff, their starting quarterback, their starting running back. Henderson Akers is coming back, but he's a little banged up, so who knows how much he plays. Looking a little dicey for the Rams as far as making the playoffs right now. Seattle, they've already wrapped up the NFC West, but they're playing San Fran, and they also want to share at the number one spot, so they'll be playing competitively, trying to win that game. New Orleans at Carolina. Saints also want a shot at having that number one spot, so if Green Bay somehow falters against Chicago, they've got a chance at being it, as does Seattle, but they've got to win their games. I expect them to. Tennessee versus Houston. This is really just a wrap-up. Sorry for Deshaun Watson. It's just a wrap on a bad season. Don't expect them to be winning that one. I see Tennessee trying to bounce back after getting beat on by Green Bay to make sure that they're, you know, where they want to be heading into the playoffs. And to culminate the evening, of course, like I said, Washington at Philly. Dwayne Haskins. Ooh, Lord. Tough for that young man. Just drafted last year, and he's already been released from the team. But you can't be out at Magic City after losses, bro. In the midst of all this COVID protocol, in the midst of trying to do your job better, be locked in. It's already on the fence. They tried to demote you from starter to third string and removed your captain's patch. Really an unfortunate situation there. I hope that kid gets a bounce back opportunity somewhere, but it won't be in Washington. Regardless of who laces up there, if it's Alex Smith at QB or some other quarterback, that defense is pretty nice. They're going to give Philadelphia all the problems in the world. Philly's playing for, I guess, evaluations for next year. Don't see them winning that game regardless. Washington's defense is pretty nasty, so I think they'll be the ones in the playoffs. But it should be an interesting weekend of games regardless. Now we're a week into the young NBA season, and as of this recording, there's only one undefeated team, if you will, remaining in the NBA. It's the Orlando Magic. I'm talking basketball right now to give my way too early finals prediction, but it ain't going to be the Magic, despite them being undefeated a week into the season. Sorry, no disrespect to the Orlando Magic fans who may be listening to the podcast, but I'm thinking I'm going with my Lakers versus the Nets, man. My heart says Lakers in six. Brain says Lakers in seven. I think that would be a great finals. KD and Kyrie representing for the Brooklyn Nets versus LeBron and AD for the Lakers, man. That's got to be great business for the NBA. So I think that's my finals prediction. What y'all think, man? Who y'all got? Y'all think it's a repeat? You should say yes, because obviously I also think it's going to be a repeat. But if you got some other teams you think will be worthy of challenging the champs, dethroning them possibly, definitely get at me. And there you have it, the latest and greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. Thank you, man, for coming with me through 2020. If you're hearing this, I hope that you stay blessed, that you have a wonderful, wonderful 2021, thinking positively, staying prayed up. You know what I'm saying? Staying aware of what's going on, man. Information is power, and the more you have, the more you wield. We cannot stop. We cannot give up on being the type of people we know we can be. We can always be better versions of ourselves, judging, not lest we be judged, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Keep that positive energy going. Continue to walk in that faith that you have for the next year. However you stay grounded, stay grounded. Y'all stay woke and stay blessed, man. Stay safe out there, and I'll catch you on the next episode.